There's a man that lives beside me. He fought in World War II. He proudly waves, oh glory, high upon his roof. He starts out every morning like it's Independence Day. You see him at attention, salute the flag and say,
I love this land from sea to shining sea. I love this land, home of the brave and free.
I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which we stand.
One nation under God. I love this land.
All across the country, big cities, little towns, while mama's getting ready, dad pulls the car around. They join their congregation to sing Amazing Grace. They're free to worship Jesus. They are free to pray.
I love this land from sea to shining sea. I love this land, home of the brave and free.
I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which we stand.
One nation under God. I love this land.
Oh God, bless America.
America.
Land I love. Oh, I will stand beside
my life, for my children, for freedom.
Oh, I
love this land from sea to shining sea. I love this land, home of the brave and free.
I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which we stand.
One nation under God. I love this land. I love this land from sea to shining sea. I love this land, home of the brave and free.
I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which we stand.
One nation under God. I love this land.
America.
I love this land.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty.
I love this land. One nation under God. I love this land. I love this land.
In the future days, which we seek to make secure, we look forward to a world founded upon four essential human freedoms. The first is freedom of speech and expression everywhere in the world. The second is freedom of every person to worship God in his own way, everywhere in the world. The third is freedom from want, which translated into world terms means economic understandings which will secure to every nation a healthy peacetime life for its inhabitants everywhere in the world. The fourth is freedom from fear, which translated into world terms means a worldwide reduction of armaments to such a point and in such a thorough fashion that no nation will be in a position to commit an act of physical aggression against any neighbor anywhere in the world. That is no vision of a distant millennium. It's a definite basis for a kind of world attainable in our own time and generation. That kind of world is the very antithesis of the so-called new order of tyranny which the dictators seek to create with the crash of a bomb.
We would have already ceased to be a free nation had it not been for the men and women who in arms protected our freedoms and served that we could have them. And I want us in a moment to be able to express our gratitude for our veterans. I would like the veterans, if you would, each veteran, each current service person, if you would come and stand across the front with facing the audience. You'll all be here as a group. And so would you come? I'd appreciate every veteran. Would you go ahead and come right now, and current service person. Amen. We appreciate these. We'll hold our applause until we finish, but we do want to say thank you to these men and perhaps even some women today. I'm not sure. Okay. Come ahead. Thank you for coming. We want to wait till everyone is here, stretched across the front. Do we have all of our servicemen here? Okay. Before we show our gratitude, I want to ask you, men, if you would, just tell us what branch of service you served in and what era that you served in, if you could do that for us. We'll hold our applause until all are finished.
1st Murray Army, got out just before Gulf War, 84.
United States Army, Vietnam era.
United States Army in World War II.
U.S. Army, World War II, Philippines.
United States Marine Corps, Operation Enduring Freedom, Afghanistan.
United States Navy, Vietnam.
Korean Army, have served in Korea, Japan, and Washington, D.C.
Navy, Vietnam.
U.S. Navy, Vietnam.
Hawaii National Guard, Oahu.
United States Air Force from 1972 to 1976 active duty, 1989 and still serving. I've been to Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraq Freedom.
Korean conflict, United States Marine Corps.
United States Marine Corps from 1958 to 1962.
Thank you so much for showing your gratitude to these men. If those are going to be helping me, Brother Wilson, Brother Brock, Brother Rose, Brother O'Hare, if you'd just stay up here at front, maybe on the front right here. I appreciate that. Sure. Okay. Amen. We have some current men that weren't able to be here, Brandon Rose and Aaron Shelton and Micah Hurst. And so remember them in your prayers during this time. I didn't think there was anyone more equipped and had any more right to speak about freedom than our veterans. And I certainly wanted to hear from these veterans, brother. Oh, okay. I thought one had went AWOL here. More equipped. I just said that, didn't I? It's been a great day to speak on our freedoms and these men. And I wanted to hear from them. And they're going to take our individual freedoms as they're enumerated in our documents, and they're going to share just a little bit about why that freedom is important. Brother Wilson is going to come and talk about the freedom of speech. Come ahead, Brother Wilson.
Well, I thank the Lord that He has spared me to be here for this reason. And I thought as you were applauding, that those that paid the ultimate price. I just wish they could have heard that. That's one thing that I am touched quite a bit by anymore, is the thought that the Lord brought us through, and He's blessed us to be here and to celebrate and to fellowship with our brothers and sisters. And I just think what a price they paid. You know, I like to honor them as much. I wish they could hear us. I really do. I wish they could hear everything that's going on. And when I think of them, I'm touched real heavy. And my topic that Brother Hurst gave me says, as an American citizen and a soldier during the World War II, I served in the fight for freedom of speech. And that's one thing that we enjoy today, is the freedom of speech, especially in the Christian realm, you know, in the Christian church, in the church today. We have the opportunity to witness for the Lord, and that's a great blessing. If we didn't have that, we'd be like some of these foreign countries that are not allowed to speak or say anything about the Lord. And I think sometimes that's the reason why that a lot of those foreign countries are in such turmoil now, is that they found out what freedom really is, and they're reaching out for it. They're trying their best to get rid of all the dictators and form a government to where they can be free. And I just thank the Lord for the privilege of the freedom of speech. You know, when you are talking, when people talk, you locate them. You find out what they believe, what the way they think, and what's going on, you know. And say you have two opinions. I've got an opinion, you've got one. And then when you get, we heard both sides of the story, then you can make up your mind which one you want to go with. And I just thank the Lord for that, because a lot of times in those foreign countries where they got dictators, they don't hear both sides of the story. They just hear what they want you to hear. And but most of all, I thank God for the freedom that we have here in America to gather together and worship the Lord and fellowship with one another. I'll tell you, one of these days, we don't know what's going to be like. Things might change, you know. And another thing, you know, the Lord could come. He could come any time now. And I think there's a lot of us that are really expecting Him to come at any time. At any time. And that's one thing we want to do, is be ready. And I want to testify a little bit today and thank God that He called me when He did. I served in the service, and the Lord brought me through. But I had some people praying for me. And you know, that helps a lot, to have people praying for you. My father-in-law was a good old Christian man, and he was praying for me. And my mother, she was a good old Christian woman, and she was praying for me. And I'll tell you, the Lord brought me through. Not a scratch. I saw some pretty weird sights. But I tell you, the Lord took care of me and kept his hand upon me. And I appreciate that. Just thank God for his mercy. Thankful that I'm here today, able to stand before you and tell you what God is able to do if you'll trust him. Although I was not a Christian at the time I was over there. I wasn't a Christian until I came home in 1948, right down here on Crown Avenue. I gave my heart to the Lord. And ever since then, I've been changed. I've had the victory. Praise God. Had a few knocks and bumps through life, but God has brought me through. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. So I just want to thank you for your goodness, for your fellowship. Praise God for every one of my brothers and sisters. There's a lot of you I don't know. I guess you know me, because I've been around here a while. About 62 years. And haven't made much of a noise, but I've been here. Praise the Lord. So I think 4 minutes was about our limit, I think. Where's brother? Oh, there he is. So I told some of them I didn't know if I'd have time to tell them who it was or not. But I love Brother Hurst. Has a good sermon this morning, brother. Has a good sermon. Praise God. Well, you forgive me. I'll get out of the way and let somebody else go.
I like hearing from these men. Amen. Brother Brock is coming to talk about what the freedom of speech means. I'm sorry, freedom of press. Excuse me.
I heard some talking coming in. They said, don't everybody know that you eat a big dinner on Sunday and then you sleep it off? So I hope you're still awake. But I was thinking yesterday, it's 66 years next month that I registered to go in to basic, and within 2 days they dropped the two bombs on Japan. Well, we knew then that it was highly unlikely that we would be in combat. If we went over, we would be occupation troops. So that's where I landed, right outside Manila, and I was there from 45 to 48, and as battalion supply sergeant. But you know, our freedom will always be challenged, it'll always be threatened, and even now, both in and out of government, we have them that would have us believe that those documents, those historical documents, should be looked on as nothing more than a progressive instrument for some liberal judge to make up his mind what they mean. Well, I think our founders knew that these things would happen, because scarcely 2 years after these documents were written, they amended the first 10 amendments of the Constitution in 1791. Those 10 amendments, of course, is referred to as the Bill of Rights. The first five deals with our individual liberty. And therefore, we get the liberty of speech, the liberty of the press, the liberty to worship, the liberty to gather as we see fit. And so the founders knew these. I had something here I want to read, and then I want to read a quote from Abraham Lincoln. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among which is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Abraham Lincoln quoted, this is a quote from him. Abraham Lincoln said that when future generations read these words, they would realize that they have a right to claim it as though they were blood of blood, flesh of flesh, of the men who wrote that declaration. And so they are. We're grateful for the liberty, but we can only hold it as long as we have strength and as long as we take part in the government that leads us. I'm going to close my remarks by saying, I love America. I love her for her beauty. I love her for her greatness. And I love her for her freedom that I've had for nearly 84 years. I wanted to make a note. I meant to make it as I was talking about the two bombs dropped. There may be many that don't know. I don't, especially our young people. But when we dropped those two bombs, Japan didn't know it, but it's the only two bombs we had. And it would be months before they would have another one. But of course it was all we needed. But I thought many times, had they known it, our government and our leaders felt that Japan would fight till every man, woman, and child was off of the face of the earth to defend the mainland. And there was a lot of talk that it would involve a million men. It is the belief that many had Japan known that was the only two of them we had, they would have sacrificed those two cities and went for it. So we don't know how fate leads us to things like that. That would be altogether different. None of the generals in Japan wanted to surrender. None of them. It took the emperor to order it. So it was closed that we could have been in war for a long time. I thank you. Thank you for your attention, and God bless all of you. I love this church.
Brother Rose is going to come and share about our freedom of assembly.
Thank you. Well, I guess most everybody knows me. I'm Cecil Rose. But as an American citizen and as a soldier in the U.S. Army combat medic, I served my time during the Korean War. And I call it war. Everybody, I guess, the country calls it conflict. But when over 40-some thousand of men died fighting, why, I call it war. And it's sad to think that we have to fight to contain our freedom. And served in the fight for the freedom of assembly. This freedom, it is important because it gives us a privilege. We're able today to be assembled here in the house of the Lord, that we can worship the Lord together. And the freedom that we have to go out and witness to people, to tell people about Jesus, it means so much. You know, I was a soldier, and today I'm still a soldier at heart. And we're in a different war, other than men, but we're in a war against the enemy. I know that if it hadn't been for the young men, old men that has died on the battlefield for us, for our freedom, we wouldn't be able to be here today, I'll grant you. Some people think, well, war is bad, but there's been war ever since the beginning, seemed like. So important that we keep our country free, that we can assemble ourselves together with one another. So it is a great blessing to be able to stand here today and thank God for salvation, for the war that we're in against Satan. He's getting more equipped every day. And if we don't fight, we've got to fight. It is a fight. You know, I've saw many. God has blessed me while I was in service. I was scheduled for the front line as a combat medic. But somehow God saw fit otherwise. But I saw a lot of the effects as I hauled patients all over Japan and took care of patients in Washington, D.C., Walter Reed Army Hospital, worked there taking care of patients that had been wounded and got sick in the Korean War. And certainly I've got 4 young grandsons that is in the service today, and I'm still a soldier at heart. But I, more than that, I want to be a greater soldier for the Lord. Amen. You know, seemed like when I was in the service, I didn't do much, but seemed like in the service for the Lord, seemed like the 64 years that I've served Him, I haven't done much. I didn't do my best. When I look back, I could have done more for the Lord. And when I was in the Army, when I look back, I would have been a better soldier. So I just appreciate the Lord that we appreciate our country. I love my country. I love that flag. I wanted a flag for years. Couldn't afford to get the flagpole, but I finally made my own. And I have a flag flying day and night in my backyard. I'm thankful for the freedom of assembly together. And certainly I appreciate the goodness of God, what He's done. I could go on and go on and on and go on and tell you different things, but I'm just so thankful. And God bless you all.
Brother Oki O'Hare is going to come and share about the freedom of religion.
See how fast I walked there? There's a rumor been going around, Pastor, that Brother O'Hare is getting old, that he walks kind of slow. But I'm not old. I'm still young at heart. I love the Lord. I love each of you. It's been such a pleasure of shaking hands with a lot of you today, and especially some that we haven't seen for a while. Brother Richie, I haven't seen him since he came back, but good to see him and his wife. Let me read what I'm supposed to do. My name is Oki O'Hare. I, as an American citizen and as a soldier in the United States Marine Corps, where's my Marine Corps guy? There he is. In the United States Marine Corps, during the Korean conflict, I served in the fight for freedom of religion. I picked a few scriptures, and I was going to talk a little bit about that, but I talked to that Marine young man today, and I'm so proud of him. I thought he was an Army. I wasn't for sure. Somebody said, oh, that's Army. I said, no, I think that's a Marine uniform. Anyway, I talked to him, and the first thing I asked him, I said, were you drafted or did you join? Of course, I don't draft them now. But he said, I joined. I said, were you gung-ho? He didn't answer that, which was good. But I kind of changed my what I was going to talk about. But it still will be, I'm supposed to talk about freedom of religion. 1951, that was a great year for me. A couple of bad places, but it was a good year. I became 21 in 1951. I was a man. That's what they say. Only 130 pounds and 6 foot and up from Kentucky. I don't think you'd call that much of a man. But but anyway, we were supposed to talk about religion, and I had got saved in the Crown and Loam Avenue Church, where George was talking about. I was 17. I wandered in that little church. I had two churches up there. I could have went to a Christian something, and then they had Sister Shank's church over the hill. So I went to that. But while I went there, I really liked it. I went there. I was when it was in 51. I was saved 4 years before, but in 51, why it was such a big year, not only was I 21, but I finally got a date with a nice Christian girl. Her name was Barbara Helmick, and it was, anyway, 51 was a great year, and I didn't waste no time. Three weeks after we had the first date, I asked her to marry me. And in 51, she became 19. So her mom and dad said, she's got to wait till she's 19. So I waited. She's 19. I got married. We went on a honeymoon. I'll talk with religion in a minute. But I want to tell you that I'm so thankful. The Lord has been so good to me and Barbara. But anyway, went on a honeymoon. I came back, and my mama said, son said, you got a greetings. Oh, but it wasn't the kind of greetings you want to hear. And she said, they're going to put you in the Army. Said, you got to be down to Cincinnati at a certain time for a physical. And anyway, I'd only been married 7 weeks, and I didn't want to go in. But the draft notice says, you got to go in. Anyway, I my father, my stepfather, really, he took me to the bus depot. They took me to Cincinnati. I passed all of the physical things. They lined us all up and swore us in the armed forces. And I thought, boy, I'm going in the Army. I'll be close to home. But anyway, this big old Marine sergeant, where are you at? You've seen them guys. Big old Marine sergeant, mean looking as ever. Anyway, he'd come by. There's about 100 of us lined up there. He says, step out. And as he'd say, step out, each one would step out, you know. And anyway, he'd come in front of me, and he stood right in front of me. And I said, oh, Lord, no. But he said, step out. I stepped out, and he says, son, you're going to be a Marine. I'm going to make a man out of you. And you know what? Right away, I'd seen a poster not too far before that said, the Marine Corps is looking for a few good men. 130 pounds, 6 foot tall. I weigh 185. But after I got out of the service, they did make a man out of me. I weighed 180-some pounds when I got out. But I said all that to tell you that the freedom of religion is what I served for, what I fought for. I didn't really have to fight. The Lord was good to me again. They needed, I was a meat cutter before I went into the service, so they saw that on my record, and they asked me that we'd like to send you to a cook, baker's, and meat cutting school. So I was glad to go. I didn't want to go to Korea, that's for sure. They were getting killed over in Korea, you know. So, but anyway, that's where I went and come back. And I cooked for a year, and I cut meat for a year. But anyway, I was able to bring my lovely young bride out to be with me. I guess she was 20 by then. She was 19 when I married her, so she was 20. But she got to be in California for a year with me, and she liked California so bad she wanted to stay there, but I wanted to come home. I love my church, and I love the people. I read a little thing. I haven't talked too much about religion, but I read somewhere that the different ones spoke. Freedom of religion, one. Freedom to speak. Freedom to pray. Freedom to assembly. And freedom from fear. I had a lot of fear when I went in, but the Lord went with me. He was with me every day. And I read something here, and this is something young people, besides try to get you a nice young Christian girl, I hope you don't have to wait 4 years, but always try to get a Christian girl or boy. So important. My wife stood right by me while I was in the service, and she stood by me for a couple more days. It'll be 60 years. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful wife. But anyway, this man read this, and this is kind of about freedom. Said what we are to do, and this was a big man. I thought, where did the guy that was FD, anyway, he could probably do this better than me with this guy that wrote this. Face adversity promptly. Don't put it off. Just if you got a problem, face it. I wasn't about to, because I didn't want to go to jail, so I wasn't about to not go forward when they told me to go to Cincinnati. Face adversity promptly and without flinching, and you will reduce the impact. That's true. Never run from anything, and never, ever quit. And that's such good, that's Marine talk, isn't it? Marine Tom. Don't quit. No. All right. What the other one? First in and last out. I knew all those things, and I didn't want to go over. But anyway, I didn't want that guy to say, step out. But he did. But anyway, Winston Churchill said that. So I hope I said a little bit about freedom of religion, Pastor. But I do love the church. I like Florida. I like Ohio. I like Florida for the nice warm weather, you know, in the wintertime especially. But I like Ohio for the preaching. Best preacher we ever had. And I don't, nothing against the other ones. I've been with all of them, with Sister Shank, Brother Vaughn. I never knew the young guy, whatever his name was. Brother Ward, but I never knew him. Well, I'm sorry. Not but I wasn't here very long with him. But I really love our pastor, and I really miss it. And did I go my 4 minutes? Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, brother.
If this is a reality, solutions. A place where we can stand and sing the worship of our risen King without regret or shame. The hope for life eternally, we hold a light for all to see without a guilt or blame. It's what we claim. This is freedom. This is freedom. This is freedom. This is freedom. Even though the fight is long, the enemy may wound us. The stripes are for the rays of hope that never cease to lead us, guide us home. This is freedom.
Appreciate everything that's been said and done so far. The choir is getting ready to sing, and I appreciate your attentiveness. Much has been said about service after dinner, and I could tell the horizontal spirit was at work in the congregation. So as the choir comes to sing, could you all just stand up and shake about three or four hands and just say to one another, I'm glad I'm free. Thank you so much. This is not dismissal. If you could be seated, we're just about finished with this service. It'll be just after the choir. I have just a few comments to share. We'll be concluding our service. I want to do two things here. First of all, somehow there was a mess up, and when we were just about through with the dinner, the chicken place brought more chicken, thought it was ours. Brother Bill said he don't know what that other church down the street's doing, but we got a bunch of chicken back there. So afterwards, if you'd like to take some chicken home, you know, just go back and get some. And also, if we could have, I don't know where they're at on that, but if we could have just some that would stay and help us clean up. Many hands make light work, and we get finished in just a little bit. I appreciate those that help serve back there. Appreciate those that have taken part in this service. It's been a meaningful time, and appreciate you being here to help us celebrate. So let's worship the Lord as the choir sings. And I have just a few remarks I feel like the Lord has given me to kind of summarize our service today.
Wrong. struggle for the hearts of all people has been raging on. But fighting is over. The work has been done.
I appreciate that song and everything that's been spoken. I was preparing some remarks about freedom, and late one night last night, just about ready to fall asleep, this began to come to me in force, and I grabbed my cell phone, began to type it down. And what I'm going to do, so I won't digress or be distracted, I'm just going to begin to share this with you as it came to me that night. What came to me immediately in times like these was simply this phrase: a trilogy that will triumph. A trilogy that will triumph. As Christian citizens of this great country, I believe we're alarmed at what we see happening to our nation. Amen? And our alarm is heightened, and it's even impassioned, because we can see what the bottom line is. We know what at the core is really happening in our nation. And here it is. Our nation is attempting to throw off what they see as the yoke of bondage and that is God and everything that has to do with God. They would have us get rid of God, get rid of His ways, His words. But in attempting to rid itself of God, our nation is destroying, taking away, and restricting our freedoms. If you're like me, any true American is alarmed when our freedom is threatened. That's what being an American is about, is freedom. But what should our Christian response be? Should it be anger? Should our response be hateful resentment? Should our response be passivity? Excuse me. Gloom? Should it be despair? Should it be pessimism? Cynicism? No, I want to talk to you about what our response as Americans should be when we see the dismal things that are happening to our land, to our economy, and to our government. Two scriptures came to me. The first is from 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. The last verse of that chapter says, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." The second we've preached recently from it, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." There is the Christian response. That's the response we should have to our economy, the problems of our nation. It's this trilogy. Our response, Brother Oki, should be faith, hope, and love. I said our response should be faith, hope, and love. Amen. If we are to preserve our freedoms, we don't just need a political solution. We need something that comes much more deeper than a mind-generated political philosophy. We need something that comes from the soul. At a time when America is sharply divided, when conservative Christians feel like, not only their country, not only their freedoms, but their very Christianity is being attacked. We need something that comes from deeper down than just passionate words and talk show banter and bravado. At a time when economic times are threatening our very way of life, times when economic problems are threatening the very security of our nation, the lives of our children, we need more than just a plan to cut the national debt and pay down the mortgages. What we need, what America needs, is faith, hope, and love. For the cynicism in our nation, we need faith. For the pessimism and despair in our nation, we need hope. And for the vitriol and the hate of our nation, we need love, faith, hope, and love. We don't need just a new political party or a new currency or a new law. We need faith, hope, and love. Having lost faith in religious leaders, politicians, having lost faith in parties and the economy, having lost faith in schools and education, we need to renew our undying faith in a Creator God who is in control, a God who is to be sought, a God who is to be supplicated, a God who is to be repented to, a God who is to be obeyed and worshiped. We need new faith in God. Amen. Having despaired over the size of the debt, the lack of jobs, the economic projections, we need hope. We need a hope that says the best is yet to come. We need a hope that says there's a new day dawning. We need a hope that says there's a brighter tomorrow, a new world that is coming. Having been called names and having called names, having been villainized and having villainized others. Amen. What we need, amen, is we need love. We need love. The number of atheists in America is rising as meteorically as the price of gas. Prayer has been excised from our schools. God has been added out of the public square. The media has relentlessly attacked anything good about Christianity. What we need is a revival of faith. We need faith. There's no financial security. Young people that are graduating from high school and college can't get jobs. The national debt is a teetering skyscraper threatening to tumble down upon us. Terrorist, chemical, and nuclear threats and attacks seem inevitable. But what we need in that climate, we need hope. In fact, I want to say, we have hope. We have hope. We have hope. Amen. America is more deeply divided than ever before. The language on both sides is hate-filled and accusatory. What we need is love. Amen. Here's some examples that's happening in our nation. We have those that call themselves Christians that carry signs that say God hates homosexuals and thank God for dead soldiers. We don't need that. That's not Christianity. We need love. I heard a talk show host say last week, speaking of our president, the idiot in the White House. However you agree or disagree with him, we don't need that. We need love. We need love. Amen. Martin Luther King said, love for our enemies is the solution to the problems of our world. And so I tell us today, instead of faith in IRAs and 401ks, instead of faith in good jobs or faith in some political figure, we just need faith in our God. Amen. Instead of despair and gloom and anxiety and stress, yes, we need to know how bad things are economically. But what we need instead of that, we need hope. Amen. Instead of the rancor and the hatefulness and disdain, we need love. I want to remind us, it was we Christians with the Christian worldview, with these three things as it structure faith, hope, and love. It was that Christian worldview that brought us the nation and the freedoms that we have. And I believe it'll be a Christian worldview with those three things, faith, hope, and love, that'll show us the way back to our freedom and to our greatness. Amen. People have failed. We know that. People have taken advantage and deceived. But what we need to do is stir up our faith in a God who cannot fail. Things are bad. They're really bad. Amen. But we need to follow up the report of how bad things are with the hope that we have of a better tomorrow. Amen. Things are true that need to be said. Things about the other camp, they're true. They need to be said. But as Paul said, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. And so I say to us as a congregation, we need faith, hope, and love. Never lose your faith in God. He is the maker. He's the redeemer. He sits on the throne. He is in control. He is working all things according to his will. He has an agenda. It'll come to pass. Have faith in our God. Hope for a brighter tomorrow. If it doesn't come through our political scene, amen, remember this, Jesus is coming. A brighter day is coming. And either way, it's going to get here. Amen. Amen. Have that hope. Love God and man. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But I tell us, in the times that we live, the important thing is love God and know that God loves us. And if that is true, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Don't let our despair at those who destroy our nation, attack us, take away our dignity and our will and command to love our enemies. Faith will cause us to turn back in our hearts to God. It will bring us to repentance and rejoicing. Hope will cause us to look up, lift up, live up. Amen. Hope will cause us to live for something more than the pleasures of the present moment and the concern for money. Hope will cause us to live for a higher purpose. Love will cause us to put our selfishness behind us and think of our children and think of our neighbors. Love will bring civility and kindness. Love will cause us to shine the light of God in the darkness of this world. If this world is in the terrible shape it is, and it is, what it needs in the despair is those that will love in such a way that people will see God and see Christ. Faith, hope, and love. And so I want to remind us as I close, our faith does not stand in the wisdom and the institutions of man. Hallelujah. Our faith doesn't depend on a shiny new candidate for the president that espouses our particular political philosophy. Our faith is in a living God who is sovereign, omniscient, and omnipotent. That's where our faith stands. Our hope isn't built on hedge funds and retirement plans and jobs with benefits. Our hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our love isn't fake or affected or non-existent. Our love is what we're grounded in, motivated by. It's the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that fills us with the fullness of God in times like these. What's going to endure? What did Paul say would endure? What's going to take us through? Faith, hope, and love. That's the trilogy that's going to triumph. And as Paul said, and the greatest of these is love. Love God. Know that He loves you. Know that we're going to make it. Hallelujah. Our faith liberates us from fear. Our hope liberates us from despair. And our love liberates us from bitterness. And free from fear, despair, and bitterness, we're truly free. I believe the hour we live in, Christians, I believe it's a call like never before for faith, hope, and love. And if we'll have that trilogy in our hearts, we will triumph. Whatever we're up against, whatever we come up against, we can be victorious. Faith in God, hope, and love. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe that's what we need to truly be free. Amen. Could you stand to your feet? We've had a great request today. As it's been stated several times, Dustin is here, been on tours of duty and fixing to go back, and requested that we pray over him, the protection of God. And he came this morning, let God do a work in his heart. We want to pray for him. Would you come ahead, Dustin, and come? And I want those the elder veterans that were up here, Brother Brock and Brother Wilson and Brother Rose and Oki O'Hare, would you come and join me? And we're going to lay hands on him, and we're going to pray for God's protection. Amen. That's right, there's fine. Yes, let's work his family in it too. Come ahead. Yes, come ahead. Jessica. Come ahead. Where's Tracy Autumn at? Tracy Autumn? Tracy Autumn? Okay. Here comes Grandma too. Yes. Praise the Lord. I've heard him talk about my original home church. It was about this size during World War II and Korea War, actually a little larger. Had many servicemen that were drafted on the front lines. But every Friday night, I believe it was, they had prayer meeting just for the servicemen. And the old-timers told me they never lost a one. Never lost a one. Hey, but we're going to pray for protection. Could you do that? Stretch forth the hand this way. Would you, elder servicemen, lay your hands on him? Let's pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being in the service. Don't forget the chicken and the cleanup. Amen. God bless you.